Hazreti Umar İbni Abdülaziz rahmetullahi aleyh. Prior to him being appointed as the Khalifa, he lived a life of riches. He was so wealthy that in his heyday, the finest quality of cloth used to be brought to him. And he would say that this is still coarse, get something even finer. So the quality of garment that was absolutely refined, absolutely fine, and most expensive, couldn't think of some cloth of a higher quality. That was his attire, that was his clothing. Then the quality of the perfume that he would use was such that if he passed by a street, then for a good couple hours the fragrance would remain. If he would send his clothes for washing, then people would say that take your clothing to the place where his clothes were washed, because this, it's so much soaked in perfume that your clothes will get blessed. In other words, your clothes will get perfumed just if it is washed in the stone where his clothes are washed. So in comfort and luxury he had reached the peak. Then when he is appointed as the Khalifa, he came down right to the lowest level of simplicity. Cloth was to be brought to him, and he would say, "No, even coarser, even coarse," until the most coarse cloth would be brought, and he would use that. His wife Fatima used to say that if you talk about someone that was more active in ibadat, then I will believe that there is someone out there that is more active and more committed to ibadat. But if you ask me about anybody that was more fearing of Allah Ta'ala, then I don't know anybody more fearing of Allah Ta'ala than my husband. The time that he was appointed as the Khalifa, he would come home and he would toss from one side to the other. The whole night used to be spent in this manner, tossing from one end to the other. He was responsible. There are certain unique things in history. The first person to compile the Quran or make that fikr or be the catalyst in getting the Quran Sharif being compiled was Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Right? That famous incident where he suggests to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala that many of the Qurra have been martyred, and I suggest that the Quran Sharif be compiled. So he was the catalyst in getting the Quran Sharif compiled in one place. Then if you look at the hadith, then it is from Umar's very progeny. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is from Umar radiallahu anhu's progeny. Then he is the catalyst in getting the hadith compiled. He wrote letters to various people at that time, Shawba, etc. Whatever evidence you have got, whatever hadith you have got, bring it. I want to compile it in one place, for I fear that the muhaddithin may die, and they may die with this knowledge of theirs. So I request of you that whatever you have got, bring it and compile it in one book. So if you look at the Quran, then it's Umar radiallahu anhu that's compiled the Quran. And you look at the hadith, then it is a member from his progeny that's compiled, or that's a catalyst in compiling the hadith. So now, this is the one dimension of his life of comforts, luxury, and then you get the next dimension of his life that he's in absolute simplicity. He is a famous muhaddis, Majishun, Ibn Majishun, famous muhaddis. He went into a coma and people took him for dead. After one day, they saw as they were trying to prepare for his janaza and all that, they saw some movement on the feet, so they left him. He got up after 3 days and he sat up as usual, absolutely normal, and he asked for food and he ate. So they asked him, what happened? He says, no. My soul was raised and they was told that my time is not yet up. So the soul was descended again. And on the descent, I had seen Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether it was on the ascent or on the descent, but I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then I saw the Khulafa'i Rashidin beside him. And I saw Umar ibn Abdul Aziz right in front of him. So I wanted to know that the maqam of the Khulafa'i Rashidin is the highest. Everybody knows about it. How come Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is sitting right in front? So it was told that these people strive for deen in the good times. They had a lot of support and they had a lot of backing. It was just after the time of Nubuwwat. So the support was tremendous. They had a lot of cooperation. But this man, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the time that he had supported deen, he had no support, no cooperation. Everything was in a shambles. He had no cooperation. With all that, he brought it up. So that is why you see him elevated to this position. What we understand from this, that no matter how much we have done, we cannot despise the next person. Now look at Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the one chapter of his life, right? Now if someone is looking at him in luxuries and the pomp and the glory, and he despises him, right? Then he's a lost case. Because the same man now that he's supposed to, and they are talking about him to be the Al-Khalifatul Khamisa, the first Khalifa, the first Mujaddid, the first person who is the catalyst in compiling the Hadith. His maqam in the Akhirat is so great, very close to the Khulafa'i Rashidin. So now, you despise someone, look down on someone, you don't have the right to do so, right? What we need to understand is none of us have confirmed seats in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. We must not go on. Don't imagine that we have got confirmed seats and our seats in Jannat or our seats in the presence of Allah Ta'ala cannot be taken away. It can always be replaced. Those that are sitting in front, they can be pushed back. And those that seem to be right at the back, they can be pushed forward. Who knows that which person is eligible for which position? The Umar radiallahu anhu, look at his grandson, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Himself, look at it, that in the morning he starts off and his intention is to assassinate Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. By the end of the day, he is the best person that walked the surface of this earth after Abu Bakr Siddiq. The morning, this is the intention that he leaves. and by that evening he is the best to walk the surface of the earth after Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Okay. So, can you despise anybody and can you think yourself to be superior? You don't know. Those people came out in opposition to Musa alayhi salam. They brought the sticks and their ropes and everything, and all with absolute intent to destroy the true deen that Musa alayhi salam has come with. And by the end of the day, there are awliya of the highest class. Amanna bi rabbil alameen, rabbi Musa wa Harun. Inna natma'u an yaghfira lana rabbuna khatayana an kunna awwal al-mu'minin. They are the awliya of the highest class. The sahabi of a nabi. Can you imagine what intentions that they left their homes? And by the end of that very day, where they've been posted to? Highest, highest. The highest martyrs, highest awliya. They are willing that. They are offering themselves to martyrdom. So at no time, at no position, should any person think that I've got a confirmed seat and I can't be replaced. And that person is in the last class and he will remain there. You can't despise the next person and you can't be complacent of yourself. Anybody can be replaced. Nobody is indispensable. Right. So, this feeling of complacency, or this feeling of I am superior, that this is not at all acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't know. That person you despise today, maybe he is not a Muslim now. And in a moment's time, Allah ta'ala gives him iman. And there he is elevated. And you think good of yourself, and you can be dropped. You can fall, and you can fall so hard that you don't have the strength to even get up after that. So, in order to save and protect this iman, we need to do several things. One is this: be thankful on iman. Be thankful, be grateful to Allah Ta'ala for iman. Now and then, when you got a chance, read 2 rakat namaz. In appreciation that Allah Ta'ala has given you iman, it is the promise of Allah Ta'ala that you be thankful and I will give you increase. So you be thankful for the favor of iman, Allah Ta'ala will grant you an increased measure in iman. Imanu yazidu yanqus, the strength of your iman, the light and the glitter of your iman will increase. Number two is this, that those works that are against iman, then try your best to avoid it. Anything that is against iman, against the spirit of deen, against the cause of Islam, anything, how small it is, how insignificant it may seem to be, but don't go near it, even though it may be a small thing. They talk of a banya. He led his entire life as a banya, and just a week before he could die, he accepted Islam. Someone saw him in the dream, said, "You banya, whole life you were worshipping Buddhas and idols and all that. How come you came to Jannat? How come you got tawfiq? How you got thrown into Jannat?" He says, "No, it was the month of Ramadan and my son was eating openly. So I slapped him. And I cautioned him that, don't you know, it is the fasting month of the Muslims. You must show respect to it. How can you do such a thing that you show scant regards to this respected month of this? On account of the respect that I showed to this month, Allah Ta'ala blessed me with iman. I died with iman. And that's why you see me in Jannah today." So anything that is to do to relate with iman, we show respect, we show regards, even though at times maybe we can't practice it completely. How we supposed to practice? We ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, but we show respect to that. He is doing it, I can't do it. The least I can do is respect that person, show some regards, show some consideration. So this is the second thing that you do to protect your iman. One is that you make shukr. Second is anything that is related to iman, you support it, you show respect to it, you show your love and your attachment to it. Don't ever show any type of detestment. One most popular Muslim, very famous, and he was in the throes of death. And he was going through a lot of pain, agony, and discomfort, restless. So one very pious doctor, very pious Allah wala doctor, was in the town, was visiting, he was in the town, so they called him. This person that is in the Sakrat, he is talking to the doctor, "Doctor, please don't leave. Please, for Allah Ta'ala's sake, don't leave. Just before you could come in, Malaika had come with a container of fire, a trunk of fire that had come, and they warned me that they are going to take me in this container of fire. But the moment you stepped in, they left. They said, Allah Wala is here, in respect for this person we are leaving. But the moment he leaves, we are coming back for you." So anyway, he died, and hundreds of people saw that, "Please don't make dua maghfirat for this person. He's died as a non-believer, as a non-Muslim he's died. Don't ever make dua maghfirat for him." But then what was his work? His work was this, that just for some type of political supremacy, some type of political power that he was dreaming of, he favored the cause of Hindus. He favored them against Islam, he favored their cause against the Muslims, just for some type of political power. Right? So this person here, this Hindu, showed respect for Islam, Allah Ta'ala blessed him. And that person, the respect that he's supposed to be showing to Islam, he abandoned that respect. He showed no consideration. Allah Ta'ala took it away from him. So this is the second thing that you do. That whatever is connected to iman, whatever is connected to faith, try and support it, cooperate. The least you could do is defend it. Just defend the cause. Don't ever oppose that cause. Whatever it is, you try and support it, whichever way, however you can support it, but it is cause of deen, and you support it. So this is the second thing that you do, that whatever is related to deen, whatever is related to Islam, to your religion, support it actively, passively, through your du'as, from your heart, from your mind, whichever way you can, support it. The effect of it is tremendous. And the third thing is, when you do a wrong, then don't ever justify it. From your heart, you must be tearing from your heart that I'm doing wrong, Allah do forgive me, and give me the strength to leave this. Don't ever justify it. Don't become immune to that wrong. Many people are deprived of the gift of iman on account of them just trying to justify the wrong that they do. Doing a wrong, we are definitely wrong. Please forgive us our stupidity, our ignorance that we involve in this thing here. So Allah do forgive us. To never justify the wrong that you are doing. Generally you keep up to these basic principles, Allah Ta'ala keeps you with iman. And Allah Ta'ala willing, He will take you with iman as well by His grace, inshallah. Right. So be thankful to Allah Ta'ala for the gift of iman. Number two, support it. Wherever you can, you support it. How much? To the best of your ability. How much you can support it, you support it. Whichever level, small, big, openly, or discreetly, but whichever way you can support the cause of deen, then support it. Whether it's in your home, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's in public, whether it's in private, whichever way. In Spingo Beach, there was one person. He wasn't known for his piety. He may have been known for some of his wrong, but not at all for his piety. But he passed away, and he passed away, you know, in a good way, reading the Kalima. On a Friday he passed away. You hadn't seen his face, there was noor on the face. So I wanted to know what was this person's salient qualities. They say that he supported the cause of the Muslims in this town here. He supported, tried to settle them, look for homes for them, let this town flourish with a Muslim settlement. So he did, in his own way, maybe some things he did was not right, but in his own way he tried to support and defend the cause of Islam. So Allah doesn't forget what you do and the type of support that you would lend to his deen. He doesn't forget about it. He will see you right. He doesn't need you, but if you do it, you show some support, he will definitely return the good that you have done. He will not ignore it, he will not forget it. He will support you. I haven't seen a person noor on his face on a Friday, on a Mubarak day he passed away. Everything Allah granted him. But that is because of you supporting the cause of deen. And number three is, as I say, if you can't do the good and you're involved in any wrong, whatever it is, don't justify it. It's wrong what I'm doing, Allah Ta'ala, please do forgive me. Look after me. Give me the tawfiq that I leave this thing here. Don't justify the wrong that you are doing. Allah Ta'ala willing, one day, inshallah, you will leave that permanently. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare. Yaseen.